You are listening to the Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 43, Proteans, Insects, and Psychos. Oh my.
And welcome to episode. God, what number was it again?
43.
It's so confusing when we're podcasting into the future. So I am clearly time confused, kid, and just trying to keep track of exactly what we're recording, when we're recording it, and so there we have it.
Yeah, you've got other things to worry about right about now.
This is true.
Exactly. I'm looking at the process of, you know, seeing which Dairy Queen treat will, you know, get a really going into labor. So it's you know, careful experiments at a time. But
the castor oil and hot pepper.
The castor oil and hot pepper. It's a less popular Blizzard flavor, but
Oh God!
Don't I didn't knock think it was possible,
but my sphincter has actually shut of its own accord. That's really impressive. And I am Darren Noel, and I am Captain Kid because I'm enjoying my Dr. Pepper and Captain Morgan right now.
Thank nice.
You. I'm having a little tipple today.
I'm Matt Kramer, and this week I am Convention Kid because, as this airs, I should be at Chicago Comic Con Thursday through Sunday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to set up the alibi now.
That's right.
Yes.
So San Diego is what days?
San Diego is the 22nd through the 26th, okay. I believe.
Okay. And okay. So then the following week is Wizard World Chicago. See what I mean? What? I'm time confused, Wizard kid.
Was.
Yes, what was Wizard World Chicago? They and it was stopped. Awesome.
The time bubble has gone crazy.
Totally rock, man. You should have been.
I'm where's my constant?
Oh, Jesus, nosebleed. Oh. No, I barely stopped myself there. Okay, so that's the kind of episode this is going to be.
There you go. Woo!
You've been warned.
Is it me now?
I just did
the Christmas story thing.
But I sort of lost track here. I'm Scott Coles, and I am Daddy Lad. I'm trying to shoo my little one upstairs. Not your daddy, baby. I'm trying Won't to shoo my other little Lantern? One upstairs.
Did he find his Batman costume yet?
No, he's got his Batman action figure, but the costume seems to be lost.
Oh, he's got his Barbie? Yay.
I don't think Mommy's helping him. He doesn't have Barbies. He has Buffies. Yeah. All the Barbies in the house are Buffy because he watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Awesome. Emma Caulfield.
How old is he?
Sorry, Emma Caulfield?
She's going to be at Chicago Comic Con.
She's going to be at Toronto Fan Expo as well.
That's right. Awesome. That's right.
Who? Christy Swanson?
No, Anya from Buffy.
Ooh, Anya.
Yeah.
Anya's hot.
See? Look at that. Look at that. See? She even crosses party lines.
Totally she does.
Yes.
I've been known to go to the other team.
There you go.
Every once in a while.
Good for you. Broaden your horizons. Yeah.
Should your people be so flexible? Huh?
Present company accepted, of course.
There you have it.
Oh, of course, Scott. Mr. Wide Stance.
I have a very wide stance. Mm-mm. Low center of gravity. It's good.
There you go. There you go.
Makes you easier to tip over, baby.
You guys need to recall that Scott and I are in rural Ontario, so you know, the people in our neighborhoods, this is a favorite pastime. Nice. So Legion news. It's again, I'm time confused, kid. Of course, there'll be lots of Legion news coming out of San Diego, so we might actually have already told you some of it last episode. See? See how strange it is?
Very well done. Very well done.
Yeah. So, you know, this
you
isn't just
tell them we're putting this one in the can for when the baby goes bluey.
This ain't just, you know, this is not just, you know, pulling the curtain back a little bit. We're just tearing the damn thing down. So
it was tacky and it didn't match the couch.
Wait.
Not to match, it has to go. Jeez, don't look like you live in a Holiday Inn.
Okay, all right. So there, Darren. So it doesn't have to match; it has to go.
It has to go.
Educate us. Here is a Darren Noel decorating moment.
HGTV lad says.
Yeah, seriously. It doesn't have to match; it has to go.
There you go. See, people, it's not just a little
bit. Your couch is white, and your rug is white, and your floor is white, and the pillows are white, and the wall is white. Oh my God, how are you going to find a white object in the frickin' room? Anyway.
Don't have any.
Yeah. Oh, but you will one day. And it'll most likely belong to your wife, and she'll ask you to go find it.
There you have it.
With kids, there's nothing in the house that stays white.
Good point. Good point.
The kid factor.
Mm-hmm.
May have it. All right. So, wow, wasn't that great Legion news that we had last week?
It was wonderful Legion news we had last week.
It was the greatest Legion news ever, I think.
I'm still flabbergasted.
It's
salt and butter.
Exactly. Exactly. let's not even speak any more of it, of the specifics of that news, and we'll leave it at that. But it was, suffice to say, awesome. So, you know what? Let's just mess this all around. Rather than start with the stories, this will be like, you know, this should have been the Bizarro episode. Because normally we would wait and do the stump the subs, but I got to stump the subs, and it's a good one. And
you have to do it now before I'm completely blitzed. As
well, this is
too late.
This is what I'm saying. You know, I'm just like, man, I'm going to have to do a lot more editing if I try to make him do trivia, you know, after he's had more to drink. So
that's right, Paul. Steer this train wreck.
All right, so the theme, comic art in shreds.
Comic art in what?
In shreds.
In shreds?
Yeah.
I never shred my comic art. Heresy.
Well, there you go.
Who's responsible for this theme?
All right, question number one. This is OG Legion.
OG, gotcha.
In Legion of Superheroes number 302... on page 8. Wow, he's very specific.
Jeez.
Dr. Gimmel, is reading a 20th century cultural reproduction of a comic featuring a villain on the front cover known as the Eradicator. He has the comic in hand when Lightning Lord attacks. Name the comic series that reproduction was from.
And mostly I'm going to go with action just because adventure, we've been reading those, and I don't remember reading anything about the Eradicator in adventure, so I'm going to go with action.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong.
And in fact, you are totally wrong. It's actually a comic which came out about 4 months prior to that issue.
Really?
Yeah. And it is, Matt, do you know what it is? You might not have been reading it then.
I remember seeing it when I recently reread that issue, but I can't remember it.
It is an issue of The Flash. Issue number 320 to be specific.
Oh yeah.
And that was the story
right
where
before the
trial. It was actually right before the whole Fiona Webb
right
thing.
Before Zoom
flashback then.
Yeah, right before Zoom broke free.
And what it was, was that it was a storyline that ran a few issues, and it was this vigilante that was basically like melting criminals, and Flash not only had to deal with that, but also with Captain Fry, his boss, who is back in Flash Rebirth as well. Mm-hmm. And Captain Fry was like Captain Amazing or Captain Incredible or something goofy like that, and he was a complete buffoon. And that's one thing that I would love to see brought back into the history.
I remember the Flash stories that I picked up. I read the Colonel Computron.
It would have been just after that, yeah. Yeah.
And then I picked up the last issue.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Because I knew something was about to happen.
Yeah, so this would have been Carrie Bates and Carmen Infantino and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's the original Legion question. Still two more. You can still bring this back.
Fine. That's fine. We're ready for it. Come on.
Question two, the reboot / Jughead Legion.
The Jughead Legion, woo!
I don't know if I mentioned this. This is from Glenn Quagmire, so a good old giggity, giggity, giggity to him.
Giggity.
So Archie Legion. A story featuring this version of the Legion was contained within a device called a containment rune, which really just looked like a piece of paper with comic art. The information in the rune was revealed when it was destroyed. Name the version of the Legion this rune chronicled.
Okay.
That's the sound of my mind blowing.
Yeah, my brains are leaking out my ear. the containment rune, which actually was just a piece of paper with what appeared to be comic art on it. And when the page was destroyed somehow, like setting it on fire, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it released the information from the room, which showed you exactly what it was.
So it revealed a version of the Legion.
A version of the Legion.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Well, it's the Archies, so I'm guessing it's the original
version. The adult of Legion.
It could be the adults, but that wasn't around during the reboot. Mm-hmm. So... I'll go with the original guys.
Okay, Matt.
Oh,
you read you. I think you read this recently.
Let's see. Containment rune.
It could be the Lost Legion, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm really not familiar with the story. I must confess.
Me either.
It sounds familiar, but I just the concept of the. Of the containment rune sounds familiar. I just can't think of what version of the team it is.
And as soon as I say what it was, you'll be like, oh, yeah. All of a sudden, the idea of the page coming to life kind of thing makes a whole lot of sense because, of course, it was part of the DC 1 million event. And so it was Justice Legion L.
That's right.
And this was in part two of the Legion story in Legion of Superheroes 1 million.
That's right.
Which...
Rebooters.
Okay.
It's esoteric.
Yeah. That's... Wow.
Yeah, that's digging deep, that's for sure. Question number three from the three boot, of course, because that's...
Dan will get this one. It's okay.
We hope. We hope you'll get this one.
In the backup feature of the Teen Titans Legion special, a disapproving mother rips up a copy of Legion of Superheroes number 0 and two Legion shirts with her bare hands. How many hands does she have? So think this through.
Yes.
Okay, she tears up.
A Legion comic.
And two Legion t-shirts.
Which I'm assuming the Legion of Superheroes 0 was the 0 hour Legion for the Archies first.
Yeah. Don't focus on that.
But then she's got to tear up two t-shirts. So that means she has at least 6 hands if she's doing these actions together.
Mm-hmm. 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 So your answer is?
I'm going to go with 6.
And he saves it.
Yep.
It is indeed 6. And it really is, when you get down to it, this one is just like a math problem. It's like, yes, all right, this one I can just figure out by the different things.
I thought it was like a trick in there. She had 8. She had two hands.
Well, she does have eight appendages. She's got two legs, I believe, at least. She may have more than that.
And I just flipped through that one, I think, yesterday when I was doing some sorting.
There you go.
I was like, when I finally know, yes.
Seriously, that was a tough round, Glenn, but, you know.
But giggity, giggity.
Giggity, giggity. And you know what this all comes down to. And thank you for bringing back some trivia. And by the way, anyone who wants to do that can send those to us. You can either send them to legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com or you can PM me on the forum. And there we have it. But yeah, it was pretty close. But you know, what most people do is when they get so close, they submit again. So
that's true. They do.
Yes. So do a giggity, and it always ends up being tougher. And so there we have it. So there we go. A little stump the subs happening. And now let's. Why don't we get into a story, or maybe we'll do some feedback in between or something. Playing with the format.
Feedback. Doop doop doop. Feedback.
So we have the first story is The Unknown Legionnaire. And this one is from Adventure Comics number 334 from July of 1965. So here we are doing this in July, or is it August?
It's still technically July as we there.
But maybe
it's probably still July.
I'm all disconnected from the time stream, you guys.
I think it's going to be August when this airs, actually.
I think it might be.
You think you're disconnected now? Wait till the kid comes.
Yeah, no kidding. I was in the store today, and a guy was like, "Hey, so when's she due?" And I explained, and he's like, "You should be at home sleeping right now because
sleep. What's that?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I will be saying." And maybe already am as you hear this. Who knows? So, of course, this one, as I said, July 1965, cover is by Kurt Swan and George Klein. And the story is by Edmund Hamilton writing, John Fort penciling, and Sheldon Moldoff inking. Now, is he still with us, Sheldon Moldoff? I can never remember. I always it's Sheldon Mayer that's gone, right? I can never remember.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go.
According to Wikipedia, he is still alive.
Okay, because I know one of them is still around, and in fact is a regular guest over at San Diego. So very cool. So so there we go. There's a connection to this old era of the Legion. For those of you who were already in San Diego couple of weeks back, as you hear this, I hope
perhaps
that you stopped
you met him.
By and said hello and said thank you. So, all right. So, this is an inventive name. It sounds like one of our fake Legion names, really. On the first page, we have a big protean creature with four arms, so it could only tear a comic and one T-shirt. And it says, seemingly from out of nowhere comes the most cryptic figure who ever battled side by side with the Legion of Superheroes against an otherworld menace. Awesome are the powers of this mysterious new ally, but even the Legionnaires themselves cannot guess the origin or identity of the Unknown Legionnaire.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. So Superboy is flying in and
Legion of hair and a mask. Take a drink.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, a lead mask. All right. And it says, Unknown Boy has all the superpowers I have and more. He can even see through lead. But why does he hide his face behind that lead mask? And Unknown Boy is saying, don't worry, Superboy, I can handle this protean creature without your help. I didn't think the Proteans were all that tough. So one day in the 30th century, the Legion of Superheroes visits a planet of the great sun Antares. So basically, they're wandering along on Antares, and there's something Superboy wants everyone to see. And what it is a statue to the memory of the Unknown Legionnaire. The one we called Unknown Boy. And Superboy says, seeing this takes me back in memory to the greatest mystery adventure in the Legion's history. Remember how it started? Billu, 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 billu,
billu. One day, Pa Kent made an apple pie and left it on the counter to cool.
It was the greatest day that ever was. The end. Billu, 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 billu. All right, so we are flashback to the prison planetoid, which is the maximum security prison for the system's most dangerous lawbreakers. This is many, many years before we had Takran Galtos.
I believe that this actually
doesn't this eventually
is,
become
yeah it becomes Takran Galtos. Takran Galtos.
Absolutely, but Takran Galtos prototype. Always looks so much cooler.
Yeah,
it's a prototype. We're just testing out this planetoid to see how many people can escape.
Well, because this one just had like a prison just on one side of it, you know.
Yeah.
So, no wonder no one can escape from here. This whole little world is surrounded by a huge electric eye halo. It's giving the alarm that a ship's landing.
Hmm.
But it turns out it's only the regular supply ship coming from Earth. But there is one prisoner, brilliant criminal scientist, aren't they all really? Dr. Norm Eldor, who has prepared an escape. Yeah, Norm. Norm!
Norm!
So he's gone old school. He tunnels through tunnels underground.
Very Shawshank.
With a cutting torch that he assembled secretly and hid it behind a poster of Rita Hayworth.
Spoilers.
Oh, crap.
Hate you guys.
All right. So
it's Rosebud. That's all.
off track. Okay.
All right. So he digs through and so that he can break into the hold of the supply ship. It says, once inside, I can weld it shut again and hide in one of the ship's space lifeboats.
He must be a damn good welder because I know for a fact that that's pretty tough.
Yeah. He's like that girl on Flashdance.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Just like that girl.
Just like her.
Just like that girl.
It's hard to tell with a small picture.
Yeah, exactly. Good old Dr. Norm. So he says later when the supply ship is in space again, and what happens is he's out of the halo of the electric eye, so he escapes in the lifeboat. Now he can get to the world that he wants to reach. And of course, this ended up reaching the Legion at a moment of farewell, in which Supergirl was just getting ready to leave because she has to return to Stanhope College in the 20th century as Linda Lee Danvers, or her secret identity might be suspected. And then Brainy comes running in saying, the science police just informed us that Dr. Norm Eldor has escaped prison. She says, perhaps I should stay and help you recapture that criminal. And Brainy, all smitten, says, no, Supergirl, you must protect your secret identity. But here's the data on the world he's probably gone to, which you can super memorize in case we are still on this mission when you next visit us. And I also made you this mixtape and I get you these flowers and
I wrote a poem on the back.
Is that
it's not
voice?
Very good, but I hope you like it.
I need to talk to Jan if that's your smitten.
Nice. So a hasty parting took place. A hasty parting as opposed to a hasty pudding. I almost said a hasty tarting, which would have been a whole different episode.
Oh my. Oh my.
So run by fruiting. I'm
sorry. Oh my. So That's all I can think of now is Darren dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire saying, hello! Oh, my.
Wait till Super Show, people.
No kidding. All right.
I can't wait till Super Show.
Exactly.
You hear that, Deemer?
All right.
What's going on?
So, Supergirl's leaving, says she has to reach full super speed to burst back through the time barrier to the 20th century. It was nice seeing my cousin Superboy again. And, just so that
Asterisk.
We know...
Asterisk.
There's an asterisk. When Superboy himself returns to the 20th century, some years before Supergirl's time, he always forgets about her due to a post-hypnotic suggestion she gave him.
Hmm.
There you go.
Thanks, Supergirl Ed. Did not give her the post-hypnotic suggestion. That was Saturn Girl, right?
So they say. She must have raised her eyebrows and then...
He doesn't remember anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like he's saying, I've totally forgotten about my cousin from the future. I wonder who made me forget that.
The same person who created Mon-El's lead solution.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. All right.
That I, and I alone.
So meanwhile, our quest brought us to this strange world. And they're you know, big mushroom-like structures and an orange sun. And Superboy says, it's lucky that's an orange sun, not a red one. If it were red, I would have no superpowers.
Shouldn't he have, like, half superpowers?
You would think it's a bit redder than that. You know, it's closer to
it is. It is a little tangerine-y in the color version of the archive here. I mean, it's not orange. It's definitely red-orange.
But you see, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if all those trees were made of kryptonite, I would be powerless.
And dead.
And dead, exactly.
And also dead. anyway, so they're looking around, and Brainy says, this is where Dr. Eldor was captured last year. He may have returned here. You know, because Norm Eldor, he just wanted to go back to a place where everybody knew his name.
But I'm bummed.
And so, you know, Chameleon Boy is looking around and he says, why, this is the native world of my pet, Prodi 2. I'm surprised we didn't get an explanation of why it's Prodi 2 and not the original Prodi.
Yeah, seriously.
Exposition lad. Dang.
Exposition lad had the flu.
So they say, the science police are there and they say, we've located Dr. Eldor. He's this way. And so, so Prodi goes running off and... Chameleon Boy says, wait, I smell a rat. Prodi never makes up to strangers, but others of his kind live here and have the same shape-changing power he has. Then those police may be Proteans in disguise? If so, they have the same telepathic power as Prodi. Saturn Girl, you can find out the truth. I have an idea. So Saturn Girl engages eyebrows and does some thought casting to make to create a terrifying mental impression. She says, I'm projecting the image of a threatening monster at them. If they're telepathic Proteans, they'll see it, unreal though it is. And so, sure enough, it worked. The phony danger makes them resume their shapes, and they recoil and flee. So after the scared Proteans have retreated, he says, those Protean creatures must be serving Dr. Eldor. Only he would have a reason to send them in the guise of police to lead us into a trap. Just how can we tell whether we're facing disguised Proteans? They'll be ready for my thought-casting trick next time. I think I can devise a surefire method. I recall a formula Supergirl invented once, of course.
He knows everything Supergirl ever invented.
He's like, yeah, I kind of made it, but, you know, she was there, so, you know, it's... kind of just like it's hers. Hey, maybe I can let you take credit for this and you'll like me and stuff.
Totally.
The Kryptonian Brazilian wax there.
Oh yeah.
Well, Superman's got a shave with his X-ray vision. How do you think Kara takes care of things? Come on.
Damn. So I was wearing that short skirt.
There's gotta be a mirror at work somewhere.
God help her now that she's got bike pants on.
So he says that with a few changes worked out in the ship's lab, I'll make a gas to detect the Proteans. So he gets this this gas in these small cylinders that basically, when they're jetted at any Protean creature, it will temporarily inhibit their power of change. Interesting. And make it resume its true shape. See, you press this button, and so Chameleon Boy picks him up, says, all right, Prodi, I'll pick you up and carry you. Oh, no, Chameleon Boy suddenly got in front of me, and the inhibitor gas hit him as well as Prodi. Suffering satellites! Well, because apparently Chameleon Boy had been watching episodes of the old Filmation superhero cartoons. Suffering satellites, will it take away my shape-shifting power? Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Yes. Yes, it will. And so he can't change shape now, and neither can Prodi. And he says, gosh, Chameleon Boy, I'm sorry. But the effect is only temporary. Until it wears off, you can guard the ship while we go after Eldor. So thanks. Superboy goes flying off, and he says, I've got super speed and telescopic vision. I can find him. And, you know, once I spot him, I'll come back and we can all head out there. So, but however, Superboy's confidence was soon shaken. Yes, he raced around the entire planet without seeing a trace of Dr. Eldor. He says, even the Proteans seem to be hiding. This is going to be a tougher search than I thought. So he zooms back to the Legionnaire and says, Eldor's base must be one of the dead cities built long ago by the humanoids who once colonized this world. They built towers of the lead-bearing rock, which is common here, so I couldn't see in them with my X-ray vision. So they say, okay, well, let's separate. You know, basically, they split up to search the cities until they can find his base. So off with their flying rings they go, and Brainiac 5's quest leads him to what looks like a bunch of tops of some sort, or sort of drilly things. He says, this is one of the cities built by colonizing humanoids ages ago. History tells us they finally left the world because of the terrific climatic changes. I'll go through all these towers. So fruitless search. Yeah, I had to put that
not on the planet.
So Saturn Girl comes along and says, have you found any clue? And she says, I got a telepathic impression of Eldor from one of the towers here, this way. Mm-hmm. And so she comes walking by and he says, I just searched that tower and there's no one in it. I'll find out if this is really Saturn Girl. And of course he sprays her and it's a Protean.
Oh no.
So
stinking Proteans.
Exactly. Get your hands off me, you damn dirty Protean. And so he didn't have time to use his force shield belt, so the Protean gets a hold of him. Meanwhile, Sunboy sees a dark chasm that could basically be a hiding place for Eldor. So he uses his power of projecting radiance to light it. And no sign down there, but the boulders that he thought were there were actually Proteans.
Oh no!
So, Cosmic Voices calls over to Phantom Girl in there, in amongst the mushroom plants, and says, "Phantom Girl, some of our comrades have disappeared. Maybe the Proteans have trapped them." She says, "I've used my power of walking through solid matter to search for hideouts in the hills, but found none." Wait, you could be a Protean disguised as Cosmic Boy. The inhibitor will test you. And it doesn't affect him, but one of the mushrooms by him is a Protean. And it turns out all the mushrooms are Proteans, set to trap them. And they're all starting to change, so they must get away. So off they go running. Very, very anime-like running they're doing there.
Oh no, we have to run.
Yeah, exactly. And they're gaining on us. But we could use our flying rings.
Get the crazy monkey who's eating candy in the back of the car.
Bear is driving car? How can that be?
So, he looks just exactly like my brother, except my brother is dead. How is that possible?
So she says, they're gaining on us, but we could use our flying rings to escape. And he says, but we'd be entangled in the vines overhead. I'm afraid I can't escape them, but you can by dematerializing. But before she can use her power, an amazing figure flashed down with mighty strength and speed. And she says, who's that? Cosmic Boy says, I never saw him before, but he does seem to have superpowers. He's putting himself between us and the Proteans. So the mysterious figure goes into super action, driving the Proteans away with a small cyclone caused by whirling at super speed. But how can he see through that lead mask? Ultra Boy can see through lead, but I know of no one else who can.
And through Phantom Girl's costume.
Hey, nah. It's a pity Ultra Boy is away with Mon-El on a distant mission. If he were here, he'd be able to see this fellow's face. As the Proteans fled,
like Legionnaires,
the sound of the artificial cyclone reached Superboy's ears and brought him to the scene. He says, thanks for your help. What's your name? I'm sorry, but I can't tell you who I am. And they said, his voice is muffled by that lead mask. Since you're unknown to us, we'll call you Unknown Boy.
Because Mystery Lad was already taken.
Exactly. Superboy, our comrades, Sunboy, Saturn Girl, and Brainiac 5 have disappeared. We're afraid that that criminal scientist has trapped them. And he says, I've combed this whole world without finding Eldor's base. And all I can think of is Spaceballs.
You went to the Spaceballs place again, didn't you?
Well, they're combing the desert, and you got the guys with the big fro pick, and it's like, you guys found anything? Nothing. And then he goes, we ain't found shit. all right. So he says, so Unknown Boy says, I can help you find your comrades. My X-ray vision can penetrate lead, so I can see through the lead-bearing rocks that might block your vision.
Nah, nah.
My powers are much cooler than yours. So off goes Unknown Boy, and Phantom Girl says to Superboy, what's made the Proteans become accomplices of Dr. Eldor when before they were friendly little creatures like little Protey? And so Unknown Boy says, I've spotted the base. And they say, well, it's a mystery. And so is this Unknown Boy. Mm-hmm. So they make their way down. And Unknown Boy is looking through the leaden rock below and can see the criminal's base beneath the city. Come, that opening leads down to it. So they spray Unknown Boy because it's like, hey, maybe he's like a Protean or something. And it doesn't seem so. But they said, you know, the metallic costume and lead mask may actually protect him against the inhibitor gas, in which case we may be walking into an ambush.
Not again.
Not again. Hang on one second, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah, he's still away.
All right. No, I'm back. All right.
Oh, he's back?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Enjoy the SpongeBob SquarePants marathon on Nickelodeon. Oh,
man. Too bad.
Well.
Oh.
Suck it up, princess.
Yes, sir.
All right. So the three of them, Superboy, Phantom Girl, and Cosmic Boy, follow Unknown Boy into the depths of the planet. Who is Unknown Boy? Mon-El has superpowers, but can't see through lead. An Ultra Boy can see through lead, but can only use one power at a time. Besides, Mon-El and Ultra Boy are on a far mission. But they didn't dream in what sort of bizarre place their comrades were imprisoned. Yes, in fact, they're shackled, and Sunboy can't use his power of radiating heat to melt off the iron shackles because they're both so close that the powerful rays might destroy them.
That sounds like an excuse.
It really does.
It's incredible.
It's never stopped him before. Why is Sunboy being such a jerk?
Hello.
See, they said that didn't start until the Levitt era, but here's your proof.
In one of the upcoming issues, too, we have him doing some jerky moves.
Oh, yes.
The frog?
He's a big jerk.
So they find this underground city, and it's a strange metropolis of the forgotten past. And they said no one ever suspected the existence of this mighty underground city, which is Dr. Eldor's hidden base. He's speaking to the Proteans. Yes, being telepathic, the Proteans can read his thoughts as he speaks. Listen.
If he's speaking, do they actually have to read his thoughts?
Yeah. It's like
to read the bubble.
They're reading his thoughts. Listen. It's like, listen. Do you smell something? All right.
Ew.
I watched Ghostbusters last week. I can't help
it. Where do these stairs go?
Says, my Protean friends, you did well to help me capture these three enemies of mine. Now the hour of destiny for your world approaches. You know from tradition the history of this planet. But in case you don't, I'm going to explain it to you.
With my words, which are my thoughts.
Many ages ago, a super scientific humanoid people, the Lorn, came to plant a colony on your world. The creatures of this world are unscientific and simple, but they're friendly. When we've built cities here, we can help them to become civilized. And since they're not hostile, we won't need the super powerful weapon we brought with us for our protection.
Singular.
Yes. Just the one.
You only need one when it's super powerful.
They're from Rimbor. That's what that means. One super weapon with them.
Yeah, exactly. We can only use one at a time. But later, a great cycle of sunspots on the sun brought fearful changes of climate. The sunspots have brought on these storms. Terrible climatic changes will continue for years until the sunspot cycle ends. We can't survive such changes. We'll have to build a city underground, or our colony will perish. So they build. dig into this great cavern. And it turns out that the sunspot cycle has now brought on great quakes, which might collapse the cavern on us. We must abandon our colony and return to our own world. But what about our protean friends? Maybe before we leave, we can find a way to help them survive. So what they did is, because many proteans had perished, because they were probably having to dig through for this stuff. But those remaining were treated with an evolution ray, which altered their bodies. You know, this is a whole comment on imperialism right here, really, when you get down to it. Good Lord.
We'll fix the natives.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they may have been
take
happy,
blankets,
but...
blankets covered in smallpox. Thank you.
They'll keep you warm till you die.
So, yes, they zap them with the evolutionary ray, and they say now the proteans will have the power to change their shape, and they can take any form that will best enable them to survive. And, well, let's go now. So off they go. And basically, because, you know, their population has increased so much, they don't really have much room in their ships. So they had to abandon their super weapon. So the proteans acquired the power of changing shape, and it saved their race. And it so basically, you know, the world gets in the grip of an ice age, and they can become furred animals and live comfortably. Just as when the floods came, we became fish-like, and when we had to migrate, we became winged creatures. So it turns out that Dr. Norm is a descendant of the Lorne. And he says, I've returned to this world. If you help me find the secret of my ancestor's superweapon, I'll use it to protect you. And so, you know, that Brainy's like, that's how he found the help of the peaceful proteans. He's told them he's one of the ancient Lorne. He's after that superweapon. So in the meantime, unknown boy takes a look through the lead-bearing rock and can see, you know, some boy and Saturn Girl and Brainy in shackles. And says, they're shackled to the wall of a great cavern. How can we rescue them without Eldor harming them? So Tinia says, well, I can walk there through the solid rock and free them. So basically, eventually they emerge into the cavernous city, and you know, all the proteans are there, and Dr. Norm says, proteans, these are my enemies. You must stop them. He says, now we have to occupy their attention while Phantom Girl comes through the rocks behind them. So with this distraction, Unknown Boy picks up a building and goes to throw it at the proteans and uses heat vision at a low power to scare them back. But it's a bluff, for I can't take life. And so Superboy notes this and says, Unknown Boy has the same code as we Legionnaires, it seems. Meanwhile, the attention of all of them is fixed on the struggle, and Phantom Girl uses her powers of walking through solid matter. And she goes back, you know, while Dr. Norm's back is to her, she frees goes to unshackle the Legionnaires. But he sees her, and she's having trouble with the lock. She says, Cosmic Boy, I can't unlock these fetters. Help me. And he says, I'll attract those iron shackles by super magnetism. And so, yes, they're free. And that's kind of like, we'll send her in to unlock them rather than just using the magnetic dude's power that can work from a distance.
Phantom Girl needed something to do. Come on.
Well, it's true, because she hasn't had a lot to do in a long, long time.
Yeah. Just like Cosmic Boy.
Yeah, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
So he frees them and says, but not for long. Rather than let you escape, I'll destroy you. I just want to see if they... Yeah, see, somehow they got the rest of the shackles off panel, I guess.
I think they all came off at the same time when Cosmic Boy did his thing.
Yeah, but they came off at the chain on the wall.
Oh, well, yeah.
So before Eldor could fire, Unknown Boy flashes in at super speed and becomes a human shield. And I said, who's this strange figure who came in front of me? He's invulnerable. And in almost the same instant, Superboy acted super fast and knocked the gun out of his hand.
with his super chop. Karate chop action.
Exactly. He had a judo chop chop. Meanwhile, Cosmic Boy, being overwhelmed by the shape-shifting Proteans. Help! Choke!
Choke!
Can't move or breathe. And so Dr. Norm says, I warn you, the Proteans will set off a hidden bomb. Release me. So we can't let this criminal go. He's probably bluffing. Maybe. And so they had to free him, otherwise their comrades might have been killed. And he says, we're taking your friend with us as a hostage. If you try to stop us, he dies. Uh-oh. Come, Proteans. So the criminal scientist and his Protean followers disappear, and they figure out that, you know, they know that he's after the super weapon. So basically, Saturn Girl sort of gives Superboy a briefing on what they've learned. He said, well, we can't follow too closely, or we'll risk Cosmic Boy's life. But Unknown Boy's supervision can see through the lead ore rock and follow them. So as basically Phantom Girl is explaining to them, okay, so here's the scoop on Unknown Boy. And Superboy says, we don't know who he is. Can you read his mind and find out, Saturn Girl? She says, I'm trying to, but I can't. He's not closing his mind. He just has no memory of his identity. Mm. It's as though he were a newly created robot or android.
It's Timberwolf.
There you go. And so he's, Unknown Boy says, I can see through the rock with my X-ray vision. The Proteans have led Eldor to a secret cavern. There's something big there. And it has to be, it seems to be the super weapon that Eldor has been seeking. And he says, yes, the great weapon of the ancient Lorne. I finally prevailed on the Proteans to lead me to its hiding place. With this weapon, I can conquer the universe. And he said, we can't let Eldor, yeah, exactly. We can't let Eldor use that terrible weapon. We have to take it for him, even at the risk of Cosmic Boy's life. So Unknown Boy says, maybe I can scare him away from it. Saturn Girl told us this place was subject to quakes long ago. I'll cause such a quake while you keep the cavern from collapsing, Superboy. So this, you know, basically Superboy gets up there and says, you know what? You guys should get up to the surface. This is going to be dangerous, and you're not invulnerable, as I am.
Nah, nah.
And so the other Legionnaires get to the surface, and there's Mon-El. He says, ah, there you are. When I returned to Earth after finishing my mission, I learned from the secret message board you'd come here and followed. So anyway, they're like, okay, well, Superboy, you know, you help him reinforce it. He'll explain what's going on. So he says, I just reached this world, and Brainiac 5 said you could use my help, Superboy. And he says, Mon-El, if you just arrived here, then I know now who Unknown Boy is. All the clues point to it.
Mm-hmm. It was what? Mrs. White.
Yes, it's Colonel Mustard.
The rope.
In the observatory.
Exerting unlimited strength, Unknown Boy rocked the caverns with terrible tremors. I'm quaking this whole region, and with my X-ray vision, I can see that Eldor and the Proteans are panicking. Yes, just so you know, more than one superpower at a time. So, Unknown Boy was right at that very moment. Yes, the ground quakes returned, and Eldor's like, I'm getting out of here before I'm killed. And the Proteans are changing shape and fleeing, too.
Ah, they got little bunny tails.
Yeah, exactly. says, Legionnaires, sorry. What were you going to say, Darren?
Tails are very fluffy.
Yes, yes, they are. turns out the Proteans are furries.
Oh my.
A moment later, ceasing his artificial quakes, Unknown Boy sends his super loud voice echoing up through the tunnels. Legionnaires, I have the weapon safe, and Cosmic Boy too, but the quake knocked him unconscious. Now Eldor is escaping to the surface.
Oops.
Minutes later, got him. Back you go to the prison planetoid, Eldor. Here's Protea 2, who'll explain telepathically to the Proteans how Eldor deceived them to get that super weapon. Later, when the Proteans understood and Eldor was safely locked in the Legion ship, they say that super weapon can change living creatures into stone. Thanks to Unknown Boy, we can turn it over to the science police. And he says, well, glad to help. I guess I'll be going now. And Superboy says, wait a minute, Unknown Boy. Or should I call you Supergirl?
Or Ronin.
Gasp. Exactly. Yes, I remember now. That is my name, Supergirl. Your speaking it has made me remember everything that I had forgotten. Great rings of Saturn. Unknown Boy was really Supergirl, but how did you guess, Superboy? And he says, by adding up the clues. Since Unknown Boy had superpowers and could see through lead, I suspected at first he might be Ultra Boy, who was supposed to be away in space. But Ultra Boy can only use his Ultra Energy for one superpower at a time, and Unknown Boy used two powers at once. Yet Unknown Boy followed the Legion code about not taking life. When Saturn Girl couldn't find any memory of his own identity in Unknown Boy's mind, I figured he must be either Mon-El or Supergirl, suffering from amnesia. For a robot or android would recall when it was made. And Supergirl says, I remember everything now. And of course, she's, you know, headed back through the time stream, and you can tell because, you know, rainbow numbers. I feel a strange tingling. Oh, no, I've flown into a cloud of red kryptonite dust.
Again.
In the middle of the time stream?
Oh, yeah, it floats out there, but only for Supergirl.
The effect of this particular red kryptonite was to blank out my whole memory just as I landed on Earth. And she says, who am I? Where did I come from? Everything's fading out of my mind. I only know I have to protect my secret identity. So basically, you know, she's got that all over her head because, you know, because that's what Brainiac 5 had said right before, right? So she says, I'll disguise myself as a boy. First, I'll smelt lead out of this rock by the super pressure of my hands. Remember, the lead hides things, though now I can see through it. Yes, a weird side effect of this particular red kryptonite enabled me to see through lead. I quickly made a mask and costume.
With her super weaving and sewing powers.
Yes. I have to find out who I am. The scrap of paper dated in the 30th century gives the location of a far planet. Maybe I come from there. I'll find out. So she used the data given to her by Brainiac 5 and reached the world just in time to help Cosmic Boy and Phantom Girl. Only when the effect of the red kryptonite was passing off and Superboy suddenly spoke my name, that's when I remembered who I was. And he says, you can still make that appearance in as Linda Danvers by emerging from the time barrier in 1965, moments after you last left that time period. Yes, finally someone gets it.
Yes.
and so Superboy finishes reminiscing of the Legion's strangest mysteries. Seems that to honor Unknown Boy for helping expose Eldor's deception, the Proteans memorialized him with this statue. Not knowing that he was really Supergirl, who even without her memory was one of the greatest Legionnaires of all. The end.
Wait,
yay.
Wow.
I thought Superboy was the greatest of them all.
I'm confused. So there we have it.
Well.
So.
Oh, wait, that's just the cover.
He was a boy.
Yay.
So now we're skipping
by the wisdom of Kindergarten Cop.
We're kind of skipping around a bit here, because there's a two-parter in the middle there. So we're gonna kind of skip ahead a couple of stories in the showcase to go through the Insect Queen of Smallville, which came out in October 1965 and was in Superboy number 124. And it's written by Otto Binder and art by George Papp. So who's taking this one?
Oh, I'll do it.
All right.
It's a queen story after all. Come on. So here we have the, I don't have the cover. Is the cover in the showcase?
No,
it's a Superboy cover.
And we don't have to deal with the cover. It's from a Superboy issue. I should actually look that up. Hang on. Let's see here. The Insect Queen of Smallville is from Superboy 124, October 65, and it is Binder and George Papp. And
I think I heard that somewhere.
Superboy. Yeah, it's
we're traveling through time.
The two-thirds splash panel is Superboy flying in to see this bizarre insect hybrid girl. And Superboy says, holy cow, that spider girl tossed her long, silky hair to form a web, catching those thieves. But just who is the Insect Queen? And Insect Queen says, guess, Superboy, you're not the only one who has a double identity. Now it's your turn to be puzzled at my secret. Ha ha. And
doesn't that tell us who it is right away? Freaky.
Well, what I love about this is they included the hyphen in Spider Girl, which is kind of similar to another company's spider character. So,
oh, and yeah.
Very interesting. Yes,
and her mask is very reminiscent of Marvel Girl around that era.
That's true. She's very looking kind of X-Men-y, isn't she? Well, and her Insect Queen's origin is very Green Lantern-y too. So let's go there, shall we? I'm surprised Jeff Johns hasn't figured out how to tie this into Blackest Night yet, but it's early.
Give him time.
Yeah. I know. One day, as Lana Lang rides her bike outside Smallville to where wildflowers are in bloom. It's such an idyllic setting. Mom asked me to bring home a nice bouquet. Wait, I hear a cry for help, but it seems it to sound only in my mind, like telepathy. A easy little thing. Help, help. And Lana Lang walks over to where a tree has fallen upon this poor pink alien-like creature. And Lana says, "My goodness, a creature from another world." And the creature says, "I can read your thoughts, Earthling. Yes, I was exploring your planet when this dead tree fell on me. I'm trapped." And Lana says, "Oof, there, you're free, sir." And she lifts the dead tree off of the alien.
That guy's a sissy. She can lift it up and he can't.
Well, you know.
It's like, dude, you got saved by a girl.
Totally. Dude. Lana Lang at that.
Lana Lang, seriously. Not just a girl. Lana Lang. Oy.
It's not Lucy.
Thanks, kind Earthling. I must reward you for your good deed. Follow me to my spaceship. I want to give you something before I depart. Probing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So Lana gets a ring from the alien, and the alien says, "That ring has biogenetic powers that will be revealed to you when you need them. It will aid you as you have aided me. Farewell." And Lana says, "Gosh, I wonder what this ring will do. Well, I better take the flowers home now. Oh, yes, I remember why I was out here in the forest. Ah, being all Snow Whitish." And that night, Lana is awoken, whatever, from sleep. And she hears clink, scrape. And she's like, "What are those noises downstairs? Golly, it's dark. I wish I had more light to see by. Here's an idea. Turn on the light switch." Instead,
she's conserving energy.
I know. Even back in 1965.
She's ahead of her time.
Suddenly, a strange force leaps from Lana's ring, changing her in an astounding way.
I'll say.
Like, jeepers, I'm a human firefly.
I'd be a little bit more worried because...
burglar.
Girls
isn't
got...
Isn't that where you like, just start screaming and screaming out? And screaming?
Baby's got back.
this is like... This so needed the American Werewolf in London treatment. If Insect Queen comes back tomorrow, see you.
Awesome.
Where she starts changing, and it's just 18 pages of her freaking out while the different changes take place. Love to see that. Anyway,
or the fly.
The fly. Yeah, that would work too. And the burglar who's wearing his fedora, awful darn sporting of him, says, "Yipes, the place is haunted," and he beats a hasty retreat.
Is that the spirit? Looks like he's got a little mask on.
It might be. Because they
maybe,
all...
maybe it's the Crimson Avenger on loan. Who knows?
Yeah.
Midnight.
Midnight. It could be midnight. Sure. there's another tie-in. Are you listening to us, Jeff? Come on, work him in.
just so Derek can see Insect Queen.
Insect Queen. Returning to normal, Lana goes back to her room and tries to repeat the miracle, but she keeps saying to the ring, "Make me a human firefly again." Nothing's happened. I guess that's the end of the ring's strange powers. And this is where we get Mr. Hinckley, who became known as Mr. H later in the Greatest American Hero.
Yes.
Who got the strange object that gave them powers but had no idea how to use it. So,
because he lost the manual.
He lost the manual. At least he got a manual.
Yes.
So Superboy and Lana are playing badminton out somewhere on the farm. And Clark says, oh gosh, I couldn't carry the bird up on the roof. I'll have to get another from the garage. And Clark is thinking, I could fly after that lost one, but that would reveal my Superboy identity. And Lana says, he might have to search a while and waste time. I wish I could get the bird down quickly.
Is it just me, or does... the word bird seem a lot dirtier when you put it in quotes like that?
Everything sounds dirtier when you put it in quotes.
Exactly.
And everything sounds dirtier when it's in quotes and I'm saying it. So there you go.
There you have
That's
it.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
So suddenly, good heavens, the ring worked in a different way. I guess the firefly change didn't work twice because the ring gives me each insect ability only once. Now you'll notice that Clark is standing out there by the back door of the I guess, the garage. So he could have easily have seen Lana's freakish transformation here as she becomes Grasshopper Girl.
He was very intent on the quote-unquote bird.
Mm-hmm.
Focused, Darren. Focused.
Yeah. Well, and she leaps up there and grabs the bird and hops on down. And Clark comes back and says, "Here's another bird, Lana. Huh? How did you retrieve the other one? Don't they call those shuttlecocks now?"
Mm-hmm. Well, that wouldn't be any better, especially if they put it in quotes.
I know. I just had to work it in there.
yeah, that's what he said.
Uh-huh. Well, he said Thursday. Woohoo!
Choke.
And Lana says, "No, there was no choking. Sorry." Another gust of wind blew it down, Clark. I'll keep my insect powers a secret. It's more fun surprising people this way. And so the next day at school, oh dear, I forgot my homework papers. Ring, can you help me with some insect power? And suddenly she grows antenna. Like, no one in the classroom's not going to notice that freakish appearance in high school.
Well, she's in the back of the room.
By herself, ostracized as the stalker she is. I've grown an insect antenna, which some species use for sending and receiving vibratory messages. I can hear the thoughts of the boy in front of me. He's thinking, I wish school was over, or not, boy, gee, Mrs. McCracken's boobs are really nice. Lana sends a vibratory message home to her mother.
Sorry.
M-O-M.
And this is where Lana's mom begins drinking in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Mom, Lana calling, never mind how, just get my homework and read it out loud. And Lana's mom says, goodness, I don't understand this, but I'll get your papers from your room. Please don't beat me again with the mallet.
No wire hangers.
No wire hangers. Get me the axe.
It will get the papers or it will get the hose again.
And shortly after in the classroom, Lana is copying down what her mother is saying real quick. And then later Lana has to stay after school. You misspelled an important word, Lana. Ecstasy. I don't know what to say about that.
We can't make this up.
Left turn into Dear Penthouse Forum.
I never thought this could happen to me.
Write it 100 times on the blackboard. I'll be back later, says the naughty professor.
Mm-hmm.
And Lana says, I'll ask my ring to help me with some insect power. And Lana's not too pleased with the next transformation. Eek! I'm a centipede! Did the ring have to take such an ugly form? Well, anyway, I have plenty of hands to grab pieces of chalk and write the word 100 times in seconds. Woohoo! And so Lana completes her task, and the professor comes back and says, goodness, all done already? Even Superboy couldn't have written it faster with his super speed. Notice that Lana is also ambidextrous.
Multiply ambidextrous.
I know.
To say the least, exactly.
The very least.
That's a comic book, 2 t-shirts.
That's 100 t-shirts right there. Lana thinks to herself, that gives me a great idea. With my terrific insect powers, I can do other super feats rivaling those of Superboy and become just as famous. And meanwhile at home, Lana carries out her plans, and she has made herself a fabulous insect queen outfit of stretchable material, so it will cover any insect form I assume in public. And this mask will keep my true identity a secret, double identity. And she goes flying around to go... She becomes Dragonfly Girl. Bzz. And she's going over and going over and going over. And then she comes upon a stalled armored truck. And Ultra Dillinger hasn't gotten there yet. Good. And the guys are at the truck going, the motor's dead. It might take me an hour to fix it. You stand guard. Remember, we're carrying $1 million.
Say that a little louder. I don't think anybody heard you.
Exactly. Subtle. And Dragonfly Girl says, I know how to help them. Ring, change me to an ant girl. And Lana becomes ant girl. And her transformations are just freakier and freakier and freakier. Mm-hmm. Because it's always her torso and head left over. And the rest of her is the insect form. I don't know. I think it's more disturbing with the hybrid.
Exactly. You know, totally.
It's just disturbing. It's like something out of a Elvira horror film. So she says, an ant can lift many times its own weight, so an ant form I have, super strength. Where to, men? I'll deliver you and your truck. And he's like, holy smokes, I don't get it, but to the Smallville National Bank. It's probably the only bank in Smallville. Come on, Lana.
You think.
After safely delivering the armored truck, Lana changes to a bee girl to fly away. Hopefully she won't sting anyone, because we know what happens when bees sting people. And Superboy shows up and says, I heard there was trouble with the money shipment. Huh? He gets the Scooby-Doo look on his face and gets a big face of Lana's bee tail as she says, too late, Superboy. It's all been taken care of by the Insect Queen. See you around. Ta-ta. And continuing her patrol, the insect girl comes upon a crime in a warehouse. And she's like, stop. No, it isn't Superboy, but I warn you, the Insect Queen is just as tough. And the villains are like, cripes, whatever that thing is, open fire. Lana swiftly uses her ring to avoid danger. And I'm guessing she's turned herself into some kind of a beetle of some sort with an armored back.
Yeah, that's what I'm figuring, yeah.
And she can no longer star in Blind Melon videos.
Yes, sir. The bullets only bounce from the hard shell of Beetle Girl. Of course, you know, her head's fully exposed. So one headshot, boom, done. And so the villains let... Why they're meeting in a wool factory, no one tells us, so it's okay. But he lets all these... They never suspect this, would they? They let all these bolts of fabric come down upon Lana, and poor Beetle Girl can't move. And she's like, oh, I've got to get out of here. And so the ring turns her into a moth larva, which means she's going to eat all this wool. Yum, yum. Of course, Lana doesn't like the taste of it. But what's amazing is later in the bathroom in private, she's going to have enough silk. It's going to be amazing. It's just going to be amazing.
Make a whole nother costume.
Don't you know? And then outside, the three cooks are trying to get away, and she turns into Spider Girl and webs them up. Whoosh, thwip. Isn't that the Spidey?
Yes.
Sound effect? Thwip.
Yeah.
And so she's trapped the three guys, and then Superboy suddenly shows up and is like, who is this Insect Queen who's beating me out on super jobs? He's like, I could find out with my X-ray vision, but that wouldn't be Cricket. Funny pun there, Superboy, since she is now Cricket Girl.
No.
She's hopping
mosquito
away.
Mosquito Girl.
Is she Mosquito Girl?
Yeah, it says right there at the top. The police and Superboy arrive. Yeah.
Which reminds me of that really bad sci-fi movie, Mansquito. Don't ever watch it. I don't care what your friends say. Okay.
My friends would never say that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know it's a sci-fi original.
Yeah, it was a sci-fi original, all right.
Oh.
Enough said? Okay.
I thought you were talking about something else entirely. Never mind. Carry on.
No. Oh. Dirty-minded heathen. So there we are the next day. Superboy is baffled in his is still baffled. In his everyday disguise of Clark Kent, he visits Lana next door. It's like, what a mystery, Lana. It seems that Insect Queen has a double identity just like Superboy. And Lana's like, oh, it's fun. People baffled over my secret identity. But I've often suspected Clark Kent was Superboy. She goes back to form. What a shocker. The radio alerts, says, Flash, the eating place known as the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Yeah. Yeah.
Is, you know, I've actually eaten at a restaurant called the Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Sweet.
Wow.
Was it as stylized as this place, though?
On their sign.
Nice.
You could have gone into him and said, did you know that you fell over in Superboy 167 back in June of 1965?
And they went, nerd!
Of course they did. And Lana's like, aha. If I trap Clark here, he'll be forced to reveal himself. If he is really Superboy, Ring, change me to a caterpillar. I want to spin a cocoon. And so Lana turns into Caterpillar Girl, and she starts trapping Clark. And he says, Lana, you are the Insect Queen. And she's like, yes, Clark, it's worth giving my secret away to learn yours. To answer that emergency, if you are Superboy, you'll have to burst out of my cocoon. Ha ha. And is Clark's super identity finally exposed? The cocoon flies out of the window. That proves you're Superboy, Clark. On your way to save the falling tower. And high in the air, whew, Lana almost caught me, but I have a plan. This cocoon will be upheld by high winds within Lana's sight while I'm gone. Are you buying that at all?
What?
Okay. She won't see me leaving at blurring super speed. And Lana's down on the ground saying, I'll keep an eye on that cocoon every second. Only moments later, Superboy is on the job at the Leaning Tower of Pizza. We bake pizza pies for all Metropolis. Well, there's an oops.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't say that the place is in Smallville itself. They're just listening to the radio. It could be from, you know.
Oh, that's true. He could have flown all the way to Metropolis to save the Leaning Tower of Pizza, but it doesn't look like it's in Metropolis. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's like next to a barn.
The outskirts.
Outskirts. Very outskirts. It's so outskirts of Metropolis, it's in Central City. So it's like, I caught the falling building just in time. It'll be the straight Tower of Pizza. Hey.
Aha.
Ah, for a
the
while.
Breeding Tower of Pizza?
Upright. To withstand the windy workman, to withstand the wind. Workmen can make it lean again later. And then Superboy goes back to the cocoon and puts himself back into it. And after a swift stop at a scrap pile, Superboy flashes back to the wind-driven cocoon. He's like, back inside, faster than Lana's eye can see. Then I'll use the scrap wallpaper while the cocoon drifts down. Bugaloos.
Can I take a drink anyway?
Bugaloos.
I think you need to.
Yeah, you need a drink for this one. Below, Scotch. Lana is dumbfounded as Clark comes out of the cocoon with butterfly wings on. Isn't it precious?
Aww.
And Lana says, Clark, you have wings like a butterfly? And Clark says, well, if caterpillars can change to butterflies inside cocoons, why not me? And then he's like, look, luckily my wings are withering away. It's like, because I'm secretly searing them with my heat vision until they fall apart. And Lana says, my trick was all pointless, trying to prove you were Superboy, Clark. Phooey. That night, Lana puts away her wonderful ring and her costume. I can't think of any more insect powers right now. When I've dreamed up a new list, I'll have more super thrills as the Insect Queen someday.
Oh yes, and for those of you, yeah, and for those of you that are wondering, you know, how does this tie into the Legion? Because we saw no evidence of any Legion in there. That means you know we're going to see Insect Queen again.
Oh yes, the return of Insect Queen.
Bzz, yes, bzz.
We need some special effects for that, Paul.
Oh my!
I need some special scotch for that, Paul.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so. Yeah, so that takes care of the, Insect Queen. You know, and this sort of goes in with that whole, this whole thing they had with, you know, making honorary Legionnaires out of people from the 20th century and, you know, like Jimmy Olsen and Pete Ross and...
everybody who ever met Superboy ever.
Apparently, yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm expecting Moosey Draper to get his call one day.
Jeff Johns has admitted Superboy never had any friends, so leave him alone.
So there we have it. So that's that one. And since we did all of the news last week, and we've already done the Stump the Subs, I think that brings us to the end of this one.
Perfect. Yes. Stump the Psycho.
Oh, there is. That's right. That's a short story. We've still got plenty of time.
Yeah.
All right, I'll cut this.
But wait, there's more.
We have more Legion goodness for you. You stay right there and pour yourself another drink. Woohoo!
Wait.
Unless, of course, it's Monday morning and you're at work listening to this, then you shouldn't drink at all.
Don't judge me.
Just call me Soda Mayor, baby.
All right. What page is that one on, Matt?
It is on 313.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and these are skipping around in the archives, too, so... But they're short, so just follow around. We'll go back to what we've missed. We know we've missed some things.
Go.
Because they're all basically two-parters now.
It's slightly out of order, but that's okay because it's not really continuity heavy here. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it makes sense because it introduces another reserve member.
Turban Boy.
Yes.
Dig Superboy. In this issue, he becomes as bald as Luthor.
Dig Superboy. Okay, I'm going to let you guys...
About the Sorcerer's illegitimate child.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. All right, so Matt, are you going to take this one? And
I can do that indeed.
I'm going to disappear for a few minutes, guys, but I will be back.
All right.
Daddy's gone.
Up next, we got The Sacrifice of Kid Psycho from Superboy number 125. The cover is by Kurt Swan and George Klein. The writer is Otto Binder, and the artist is George Papp. On the cover, yeah, other than Superboy becoming as bald as Luthor in this issue, we have a guy in a turban saving Superboy from a tank catapult throwing kryptonite. It says, "Warning to Superboy, don't envy Kid Psycho. Notice to readers, you'll cheer, you'll cry when you read The Sacrifice of Kid Psycho." But yeah.
There's so many things wrong.
Can I just say something about the cover? You know, we have moved into the more hippie era of the 60s because the front says "Dig Superboy."
Dig it.
You know they were thinking, "Hey, that'll be cool. The kids will understand that."
It's hip.
If they can dig Superboy, it's hip.
Yeesh. Yeesh, yeesh, yeah. Yeesh.
And look, we have the comics code on this issue.
Is that the first one
we've seen?
I don't know, because I honestly haven't really been paying attention.
Well, okay, go ahead and start talking. I'm going to do a little flipping here.
All right. But it starts out on a splash page. Basically just what we had in the cover with the catapult firing kryptonite. But Superboy being saved by Kid Psycho. And is it possible for anyone to raise a heavy weight without lifting a finger or stop deadly cobras? Merely by staring or halt a raging flood without moving a muscle? Superboy finds out. The astounding answer is yes, when he meets the incredible Kid Psycho. Yet, why is a boy who has mastered such amazing powers turned down by the Legion of Superheroes in the 30th century? Such is the mystery confronting the Boy of Steel in the story called The Sacrifice of Kid Psycho.
The Legion turns people down all the time.
Yeah.
For no good reason at all.
I have to confess that a whole bunch of stories we've read before now have had the comics code on it, and I just haven't noticed. So let's keep going.
I would imagine that most of them had, actually, since that whole big deal was in the 50s.
It's after the seduction of the innocent thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wasn't paying attention. And I'm a little inebriated.
Yeesh. Well, the story starts out with, in Smallville, one day as Clark Kent helps out his foster father's general store, we see a boy in a turban wanting directions to Superboy's home, and Clark's thinking, what odd clothing this boy wears. I never saw him in town before. He must be a visitor from some foreign land. What gives him away?
Racist.
It's the turban.
Yeah. Probably thinks he's Canadian or something.
Totally.
Oy.
That turban keeps your head warm. Don't be making fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's his toque.
Hey, there's donuts and colors in there.
Ooh.
It's made of bacon.
Ooh, I need one of those. Do they sell them at Tim Hortons?
Only the really special ones up here.
Yeah, Superboy says that no one knows his real address or his name. But then outside the store, there just happens to be a truck full of explosives. And high-tension wire falls down, and the sparks are going to cause the truck to explode. And Clark runs into the back room and changes into his Superboy costume and flies out the window. But and he gets outside, he sees that this boy in the turban has taken care of the problem for him. He is using his powers shooting out of his eyes and creates some kind of force field that deflects the sparks from the truck. So what is it about people with powers coming from their eyes?
Because it's cool.
Yeah.
It is cool. It's very
cool. It looks good on a page.
That's true.
That's true. It does. It's a very visual bam kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just like names on the chests.
Well, it's very Cyclops. Not so much. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very Cyclops. If we're in the X-Men era, this is kind of.
That's true. That's a good summary point right there. Yeah. Now, with the sparks deflected, Superboy can grab the wire and fly up and repair it. And he uses his super welding skills.
Sweet.
And then. He needs to find out more about his new pal, Kid Psycho. How he gave him that name, who knows?
Well, he gave himself that name in the panel above.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I missed that. But yeah, he helps out Kid. He wants to go find out more about Kid Psycho, and he flies down, and Kid Psycho's gone. But, what's happening? Zoo breakout across
Smallville. Oh, zoo breakout. Hold on. Take a drink.
Zookeeper is falling against probably the weakest glass in the world.
And oops.
Then some deadly snakes are coming out.
Glass, it's transparent aluminum.
It's that sugar glass.
Yeah. But luckily, Kid Psycho's around to stop it. Halt, snakes, you will go no further. And someone in the crowd says, hey, it's a miracle. The Cobras act as if they ran into another glass wall, an invisible one. And then Superboy shows up on the scene late again. And he says, these Cobras striking at me will only end up with sore fangs. But what is this strange power of yours, Kid Psycho? I'll explain it all later. Now you can toss the snakes back into their cage, Superboy. And yeah, Superboy quick repairs the glass with the snakes inside, and he's thinking that unknown youth puzzles me. He seems to be patrolling, in quotations, town on foot, looking for emergencies. Why? Is there some plan behind it? And then
he's looking very like the cuckoos.
Yeah.
Kid Psycho sort of wandering away with that blank stare.
Yeah, that can't be good. But across town, a crime gang has pulled a robbery, and they've got a puzzling getaway vehicle. They snatched $1 million and a tank. The police subtle officers.
What is going on in Smallville?
Don't you miss the comics where you'd had the Joker mobile and the Riddler mobile, and it was this green number with the big Joker face on the front, or big question marks all over it, or Catwoman's car with the tail on the end?
All I can say is the insurance rates in Smallville must be astronomical.
Not as much.
I mean, all this stuff is happening in one day. It's crazy.
It's still not as much as in Gotham.
Yeah.
In the DCU.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I doubt insurance even exists in the DC universe. I think it'd be out of business.
Good point. But yeah, the cop says that Superboy can easily smash open the tank, and he goes for it. And for some reason, this tank has a catapult inside it instead of a gun. But yeah, they have an anti-Superboy catapult. Ready, aim, fire. And they've heard.
Where did they get a ball of kryptonite that big?
Kent General Store.
Have you not seen that show? I mean,
didn't Luthor pay like $1 million or whatever the hell to get his little piece of kryptonite for his ring?
Oh, there's always a piece of kryptonite lying around for whoever wants it. Come on now. You know that.
Yeah. But
by the way, I did a little looking up, Matt. you know, when you say Kid Psycho, the first thing that appears in my head is the Norman Bates movie from Hitchcock. And I looked up, and that movie actually came out in 1960. So it's possible that they were inspired to use the Psycho part for his name, since this is a 65 story. I just thought I'd throw that in the pop culture out there.
Yeah, that,
it's possible. There's no relationship other than the name, so.
Superboy says, "Yipes! Green kryptonite striking at that speed. The blow could be gulp.
Gulp.
Fatal to me. This is
you
a very
did that one, Darren.
Yeah, that's a very Shaggy from Scooby Doo.
Yes, it is.
Zoinks."
And luckily, Kid Psycho shows up and says, "Don't worry, Superboy. My eyes will project the psycho force field to protect you." And he does. It bounces off. Great, Scott. The green K only bounced away as if it hit a steel wall. How I wish I had his powers. And then Kid Psycho disposes of the kryptonite. Just throws it down the sewer.
No wonder people find it all the time. Every time they get rid of it, just throw it away somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll just put it down the sewer, this alley.
Irradiating all the water.
I'll just put it in this dumpster. It'll be fine.
It's like putting your keys under the doormat.
Yep.
But Superboy rips the top of the tank off so it can't get away. And Superboy picks up Kid Psycho and they fly off, and he wants to he says, "Now I see, Kid Psycho, you used a similar force field shield to deflect the high tension wire sparks and to create an invisible wall in front of the escaping cobras. Right, Superboy. You will understand more when I unwrap my turban." You have an extra large brain.
And excuse me while I whip this out.
It's much bigger than yours, Superboy.
The high tension. You have an extra large brain. Then you're from another world of super evolved people. No.
You're wrong, stupid.
The other people on my planet were quite normal. To explain my evolution brain, I have to start with my mother and father. His mother and father were astronauts on his world, and they were given a special mission to defeat a space monster that lurks in orbit and preys on astronauts. And
That's how you get rid of the space monster. Send him more astronauts.
Exactly.
Leave the rest of us alone.
Yes, just don't become an astronaut and you're fine. But they've got to go to defeat this monster or the space program will be wrecked. And they go through the radiation belts of the planet and they come upon the monster and they're aiming the weapon at it, and they have to quick fire before the monster can grab the capsule and crack it open like a nutshell.
It looks like Kang from The Simpsons.
It does. And just in time, their radium gun hurled forth a deadly nuclear charge, and they kill it before it wipes out a million people by irradiating the atmosphere. And then the monster is turned into basically a constellation that is going to shine in the night skies. And
octopus constellation. Yeah,
that will always remind us of the brave deed of those two astronauts.
You have to wonder if he's a relative of Starro's, don't you?
Could be a giant space octopus. We should have asked Tony.
Oh, well.
later, the Kid Psycho is born, and the baby's head is too big. It's deformed.
Don't you feel sorry for that poor woman?
You see? This is exactly what my wife has been worried about. I'm going
to you better tell Jan not to read this story ever because
exactly.
And keep you're never going to touch radiation. Her
again, Paul.
Have you ever tried to project force fields from your eyes?
Not in days.
We're going to have to get Paul a hazmat suit. It's the only way Jan's going to let him back in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Radiation Paul.
There you go.
Yeah, but Kid Psycho's dad.
He's cool with it.
He is, yeah. He's cool. He says, no, my dear, it's a mutation, a sudden advance in evolution, which gave him a bigger brain. Who knows what amazing powers he may have. So, yeah, we have mutants now.
Yeah. See, and right there is the difference in the DCU with mutants to the Marvel Universe. In the Marvel Universe, they're hated and feared. In the DC Universe, it's like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except for his mom, who's still crying from the pain of it all.
Yeah, well, she's got a different stake in it.
Yeah. She needs another epidural quickly.
Yeah. They find out later on what his powers are, and he has the power of mind over matter as he's levitating blocks to form the word animal in midair. And then we have a note from the editor. Kid Psycho is translating from his native tongue for Superboy as he tells the story, Ed. Hmm. And in school, he's using his mind to write on the chalkboard, and the teacher wants him to get up next time. And then when he was a teenager, he developed his power of creating force shields, and he prevented many dangers, like a flood. But then one day a disaster struck that he couldn't prevent, and a wandering planet smashed into his home world. Sob. My parents managed to shoot me away in this rocket, but I'm the only survivor.
Choke.
But this all happened in the future because he's from the 30th century.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
He decided to join the Legion of Superheroes, but he does so by having everyone come at him with a battering ram, and he just creates a shield, and blam, they're stopped. But somehow, for some reason, they have to reject him. And then he was baffled, and so was Superboy. He says, your power could be very useful to the Legion, as you've proved to me. And he says that's why he came to the past, because he wanted to prove his worth and retry out next year. And then Superboy and Kid Psycho fly off through the time barrier, and they're going back to the future to find out why he was denied membership. And Superboy vouches for him, but Saturn Girl says, but we must, Superboy. Let me explain. He took a medical exam, like all applicants, but we didn't realize the doctors hadn't told him their findings. And Saturn Girl shows him the medical report. She says, see, Superboy, how could we let him join the Legion knowing that every time we gave him an assignment, we would help bring him to an early grave. Great Scott, no wonder you had to reject him. And yeah, the diagnosis for him is diagnosis. Psycho force beaming forth drains a large amount of energy from brain. Each time subject uses his power, he shortens his life by about 1 year. And it's very important because it's underlined.
Yes.
And Kid Psycho is shocked, and he pulls himself together and says, naturally, you can't accept me under those circumstances, but if you ever really need me, I'll be glad to use my power, even if it does shorten my life by another year. And Brainiac 5 is very excited. He's doing the fist pump and says, what an offer. Yeah! Only a real hero would willingly sacrifice his own life for others. And Superboy comes up with an idea as Kid Psycho walks off. Well, I can't stay here since I'm not a member. So long, everybody.
Choke.
Superboy is whispering.
Bzzz. He turns into Insect Queen.
Exactly.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Into Insect Queen.
Why?
Hey.
Saturn Girl looks very astonished at this and says, great idea, Superboy. Wait, Kid Psycho. And then they go to the Super Legion's file room. And Saturn Girl says, worthy applicants who have been rejected may join the Legion Reserve. They'll be on call if we need them. We hereby enter you, Kid Psycho, in the reserve as our secret weapon number one. What a great honor. Thanks, Saturn Girl. That makes me feel much better. And then departing for the 20th century, Superboy leaves behind him a proud and happy lad. Secret weapon number one of the Legion of Superheroes. That's me. And Superboy says, the Legion may never have need of his powers, but knowing they might call in kids, him is all Kid Psycho needs to be happy. The end.
Aww.
And we see him, one more time?
Well, we see him
in Crisis.
Yeah, in Crisis.
Yeah. That's interesting, because, I mean, I do remember, and I think this comes from around the early Levitz time, so it would have been sort of during Great Darkness, where in the letters page they were doing the Legion, sort of a few Legionnaires at a time, and that's where I think that's where I first learned of Kid Psycho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a neat concept. I mean, just this idea of a superhero whose power shortens his life with every use. I mean, it's a neat idea.
Well, he lived till 1985.
Yes,
2985.
Yeah.
I love when they drag the Legion into events.
Well, they kind of didn't have a choice.
I know, but you know,
that's okay. I'm waiting for Blackest Night to get a little Legion-y.
I tell you, there's a few people to pick from too. So
there are quite a few characters that could come back at any
at least
moment.
Two Karate Kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Karate Kids.
One of whom is buried somewhere in the 20th century. So
one duo damsel and and a Chemical King. Woohoo!
Never happen.
Darren's gonna get his Chemical King if it kills him. No, wait.
And it will
if it kills you.
Oh, damn! That's cold.
What did you do, Paul? Jeez.
Seriously, sheesh.
Don't get in my way.
Apparently.
Look, I'm just holding an innocent candlestick. That's all, Paul. Look on the wall.
Oh, my.
I found the British series Cluedo on YouTube this past week, and I've been streaming it just for the campy goodness of it.
Uh-huh.
Hilarious.
What's it called? Cluedo?
It's called Cluedo, which is what they call the game Clue in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And it's basically the first part of the show has a mini movie in which a character shows up at the mansion called Arlington Grange. And this person who shows up gives all six suspects a reason to off him or her.
Interesting.
And before the end of the mini movie, that person has been killed by one of the suspects. And then you have two teams of detectives who try to figure out who did it. And the real cool twist of it is they have the actors who play the characters in the studio defending themselves to these accusations. And some of the actors went on to pretty successful stints, like Joanna Lumley from FFAP. She plays Mrs. Peacock in the fourth season.
Nice.
Hilarious. She's hilarious. And Jerry Hall, Jagger's wife.
Oh, wow.
Who everyone knows from the Batman movie. Jack Nicholson's little chippy.
Where you been spending your nights.
Your night, baby. Yeah, exactly. She played Miss Scarlet. And it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
See, now all I can think of, never rub another man's rhubarb.
Yeah.
Where is the Batman?
And at the end, yeah, at the end where when they finally figure out who it is, you get a little confession moment from the character.
Oh, that's neat. Mm-hmm.
It's very funny. It's very funny.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. I got to check that out. So it's Cluedo.
Yep, it's called Cluedo.
Nice.
And the weapons change, and some of the fun weapons were a toilet chain.
Ah, yes.
And a G-string.
Oh, hey now.
Yes, I know. They went there. They went there with the camp.
Very nice. Well, then, comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can also head on over to the forum at forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com or head on over to our episode links on our website, which is legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and all places where you can give us your feedback and tell us what you thought about things, ask any questions you may have, all that kind of stuff. And with that, we head back into the time bubble and make our way back to the 21st century, and we will see you all next week. Or 3 weeks ago, or damn it, I can never remember.
We'll see them soon.
Hello?
We're running the theme play. Oh. Okay.